We present the news quiz with your host, Sandy Toksvig.
Hello and welcome to the news quiz. We start with an advertisement from Land Rover magazine, read by Corrie Caulfield.
The Oz tent, the tent that can be erected by one person in under 30 seconds. Don't believe us? Then send for our free 13-minute DVD.
Our thanks to Ray Arnold for sending that in. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first, on my right, Susan Kalman and Joe Brand. And opposite them on my left, Andrew Lawrence and Jeremy Hardy. Susan, how did the police fail to help the public with their inquiries?
This was the new crime website that was launched this week. You can go onto it and put in your postcode and see what crimes have been committed in your area. Or if you're a criminal, see if you're getting the proper credit for the crimes that you have committed. It had something like 18 million hits, so people couldn't actually get onto it. It's important to point out it's not for Scotland. It would just be a big map of Scotland. probably with there's been a murder in Glasgow and several instances of running out of hummus in Edinburgh. So there's a big data protection issue there because it does it per street. So, you know, you can potentially identify the different people involved. And also, of course, it's got terrible implications for the house prices. You know, because who wants to live in a kind of area like that?
Well, I wanted to have a look at it, so I heard about it on the radio and I went downstairs to go on my laptop and look, and someone had broken into my house and nicked it. So I reported it.
Also, that house price thing. Honestly, I was in Richmond, I punched 12 people and that house that I wanted to get is still not the price hasn't come down.
Our house prices are kept low by the big sign that says fatal incident on the road. There's no amount of freshly baked bread or percolated coffee can re-disguise that.
Andrew, did you check your area?
Because everybody knows whether the area is a crime hotspot anyway. I mean, ask yourself if over the past month you've been burgled, mugged, stabbed. If the answer is yes to any of those, probably live in a crime hotspot.
If they linked it up with Google Street View, you could actually watch the crimes being committed.
The biggest crime on my street is that I'm paying over £800 in council tax and yet they can't provide adequate street lighting, repair any of the potholes or organise a regular bin collection. There's no punchlines there, it's just something I wanted to get off my chest.
You speak to the heartland of the middle class, isn't there, Andrew?
In Highgate, there were probably lots of incidences of people serving red wine with fish and that kind of thing. Does that show up?
I don't need it in my street because I film my street regularly. I spend a lot of time. It's not illegal. I take pictures of people, and if people are double parked, I go and take pictures of their car. And it sounds a bit. Saying it out loud sounds
a little
serious?
Bit. Are you serious? Do you really?
Yeah. Well, and if people put rubbish in the street, you know, people because I hate people dumping rubbish. I run out and I take a picture and I run back in again.
Do you take these pictures surreptitiously, or do you march boldly up to them?
Well, sometimes you've just got to make a point. Sometimes you've got to. Sometimes you've got to let people know that somebody cares.
Okay. And
I've
got a bigger question for you. Do you do it just in your pants?
No, I have done it in my pyjamas.
Oh, I knew
I
you
have
would.
Seen there was a child breaking a bottle.
Yeah.
An eight-year-old child who had, I think it was Mad Dog 2020. No one here knows what that is, but in Glasgow it's...
I do.
Okay, here we go. What is it?
My kids have it on their cornflakes in the morning.
And I thought, I'm just going to go and take a picture of that child. Again, saying it out loud sounds...
quite perfect.
So I just went down in my pyjamas, I put on a housecoat, and I just went out and took a picture and then ran back up.
Mm-hmm. I have one more question. What's a housecoat?
It's one of the... It's lovely and roomy, and it's got big, deep pockets so you can put bottles and chips in there.
In the 1950s?
Yes, yes. And you can wear it, so if someone rings the doorbell and you're not dressed, you just put on your wee housecoat and then...
Do you have to wear a knotted scarf with it?
You don't have to, but I prefer to.
A police website showing crime maps for every street in England and Wales launched this week and promptly crashed when up to 18 million people an hour tried to access it. Due to an error, crimes at Heathrow Airport are shown as taking place on Camborne Close in Hillingdon. So the unfortunate residents there are charged with 12 counts of aggravated assault, 3 drunk and disorderlies, and 1 fraudulent claim by Ryanair that Venice Treviso Airport is anywhere near Venice. 2 points to Susan. Joe, why might some people in the West suddenly think democracy is not for everyone?
Because it's the wrong sort of democracy.
Yes.
It's like snow.
Yeah.
It's this to do with Egypt, and this is to do with Cameron and others saying they're slightly worried. They love democracy, but they don't want the Muslim Brotherhood to get in. I'm not going to say who can blame them. I'll leave that to Susan, because...
too keen on the Muslim Brotherhood taking over. I don't mind the Muslim part, it's the nepotism.
But I think it's quite interesting, isn't it, because Cameron's saying we want an orderly transition. I mean, I'd like an orderly transition for my children in their bed in the morning to when they get to school, but I don't bloody well get it. You know, I'd like it, but I just think it's rather patronising of them.
I did feel a little embarrassed when I turned on the television. I've been watching the protests for a very long time, and lots of it is terribly serious, but I did think, oh, I wish our police had camels.
There's a lot of BBC people there. They all seem to have found a balcony that has a perfect view of the square. It's a bit like in one of those Hollywood films where every window has the Houses of Parliament in the background of the window.
I heard John Simpson on the radio. I didn't realise it was him, and some woman came running up to him in complete hysterics because something awful had happened, and he was saying, calm down, dear, calm down, dear. Bloody hell, they've got Michael Winner reporting. Believe it.
The trouble is, we're not in a very good position to comment because it was one of ours, which is what we always say. The trouble is, it was one of ours, you see. We can't say much about Zimbabwe. One of ours, I'm afraid. You know, that was most of the world at a certain point. You know, anywhere that there's a hideous territorial or ethnic or religious violent dispute going on, you will find an Edwardian pillar box not very far away.
Are you interested in politics, Andrew? Is it something that interests you?
A little, yeah. And I try to keep track of it.
You know, you sound like a Lib Dem. Yeah. Yeah, it's quite important.
I feel slightly out of my depth sometimes with it, though, because I didn't really go to great school. Like, I remember no one ever encouraged us to have any ambition. The head teacher used to stand in front of assembly and say things like, now remember, as you journey out into the world, whatever your expectations are of life, lower them. I feel ignorant sometimes. Like, I mean, I would love to know more about physics, but my physics teacher had a sort of prolonged breakdown, and every lesson, instead of trying to teach us anything, he would repeatedly show us Sergio Leone's A Fistful of Dollars over and over again, which at the time was quite amusing, but I feel ignorant now. The other day someone asked me, what did I think of the Hadron Collider? I had to admit, I've never been on it. I have been on... I've been on Nemesis at Alton Towers, and that's wicked. That's what I recommend it. I try to keep track. I try to keep track.
Leaders in countries belonging to the Arab League have been rattled by protests across North Africa and into the Gulf. Hundreds of thousands of Egyptians have taken to the streets to call for an end to autocratic rule. Tahrir Square was yesterday filled with tens of thousands of protesters, hundreds of pro-Mubarak activists, and one slightly confused couple from Alabama looking for the Sphinx. 2 points to Joe. Andrew, who isn't wedded to the law as it stands?
Oh, couples who cohabit but aren't married don't have any rights at the moment, but they're kind of the head of family law has said that they should be getting rights. They should have the same rights to split assets between them, even though they're not married if they break up.
I think people have always assumed for years that actually if you stay with your cohabiting partner long enough, then you have the same rights as married couples.
But in fact, there's no such thing as a common law wife. I mean, I think marriages can be overly complicated, don't you? As I was saying to my wife and husband this morning.
Personally, I think cohabiting's good. I just moved in with my girlfriend. She doesn't know about it yet. I'll wait till her birthday next month, come down from the attic in the middle of the night, surprise her. Happy birthday!
It's a nice word, though. Do you not think cohabitation?
Cohabitation.
It's so much nicer than the parasitic slob who stole the best years of my life.
You do have some rights if you cohabit. You can still vote, can't you? What if it turns out that you're married to a police officer undercover? Does the law still apply?
Well, it's really interesting, because if you enter into... If it's fraudulent, then there's no consensus in Edom. 7 years
Edom.
Not wasted. Thanks, Mum and Dad. There's no consensus in Edom, therefore...
In Edom, like the cheese?
Yeah.
Is this Scottish law or real law?
Yeah, so if it was fraudulent, so if I was pretending to be, let's say, a man... Mm. And married Jo, and she found out.
I like that. So I'm married. I entered into a contract with my husband to ignore him for the next 50 years until we die. And because he never talks to me. And it's very hard to find out what he's thinking since waterboarding was made illegal. So I quite like to marry you.
Would you?
Yes, or cohabit or something. I fancy going out in my pants and taking pictures of children.
I don't feel like anybody wants to stay together forever. He says,
I want to stay, not with you, obviously. I'm married, I want to stay married forever.
It's easy, that's the thing about it.
What,
that's...
be staying married? It's yeah, fab, they don't, it no more questions, how do you take your coffee? Which
you don't have to wash anymore.
Yeah.
All that sort of stuff's great. There's lots
that's
of benefits.
That's social care you're
there.
Talking about.
Britain's most senior family judge, Sir Nicholas Wall, has called for unmarried cohabiting couples in England and Wales to be given the same legal rights as they would enjoy in Scotland. In Edam.
I don't...
And Baby Bell. The term common law marriage is often used, but has no actual legal or official status, much like the term deputy prime minister. At the end of round one, Susan and Joe have got 4 points, but Andrew and Jeremy are in the lead with 5. We start round two with a job listing from the Harrogate Times.
Customer representative, salary £8,616 per annum, plus bra.
Our thanks to Lindsay Marsden for sending us that. Susan, who nearly had to be escorted from Parliament? Escorted. I was trying to help you.
Yes, this is a story about Italian politics. And the older I get, the more I wish I'd decided to stand as a Member of Parliament in Italy, because it just sounds like the most magic place to work in the entire world. Your boss, Mr. Berlusconi, he'd be like the best boss in the world ever. Take the day off, never mind legislation, we're going to whorehouse. Just me. But this is a Member of Parliament of Berlusconi's party, the Freedom Party, I think they're called. Mm. And he was caught on camera. So he's in the Parliament. There's a vote going on. He's on his iPad or other tablet computer. There are others available. And what he was doing was he was looking at escorts, like semi-naked nudie pictures of women. They were €400 a pop, apparently. I've not looked. And his excuse, which I thought was absolutely just beautiful, is one of these, and I'm not going to be rude, but it's a typical male excuse, which was, so I just didn't know quite how to work it and my finger slipped. But I don't think anything's going to happen to him. Berlusconi probably just thought it was upsetting there wasn't already an app for it, so...
It could have been a mistake. You can get into all kinds of trouble. For example, I innocently typed in Ladyboy Intimate Massage into my search engine, and all manner of weird things came up.
Well, I was Googling a news story about Ed Balls and the Chief Whip, and...
I mean, there is something about Italian men particularly. They are testosterone-fuelled to the max, aren't they? I mean, I've been to Rome and I found it kind of much more testosterone-y in Italy than I did anywhere else.
Oh, that's a soup in Italy, testosterone-y.
What man wouldn't use technology for porn? Do you not think when Babbage invented the adding machine, he thought, I wonder if this will spell boobies?
Yeah.
Do you not think?
No.
Is it? Come on now, Andrew. Speak up for men here. Do all men look at these?
I've not got a problem with men looking at porn because men have sexual needs that need to be met one way or another. Like, I've moved recently. It's not a good area. The first week my girlfriend went for a walk in the town centre, these smart-mouthed teenage boys just started giving a lot of chat, saying things like, oh, damn, I forgot my condoms. Ridiculous things. She said, how dare you? You're disgusting. They said, yeah, you want it, though, don't you? You want it. And I wish I could have been there. Just to set the record straight, I would have said, listen, you spotty little delinquents, I've been going out with this wonderful lady for 5 years now. I could tell you quite categorically, she doesn't want it! Men have needs, and they're not always serviced, so sometimes they have to attend to them themselves.
It's not like we don't try, you know. I said to my husband the other night, what can I do to please you? And he went, get out the way of the telly. Doing my best.
Italian MP Simeone Di Gagno a Brescia was caught surfing a website for escort girls on his iPad during a parliamentary debate. The MP defended himself, saying he's a committed family man, a loyal husband, and all of these things were later confirmed by his third wife. It's true. 2 points to Susan. Andrew, which charity case has gone from rags to riches?
The Salvation Army are in trouble because they've been hiring an independent businessman to run their recycled clothes collecting operation, and he's made £5 million of profit this year. Although I don't really have much sympathy for the Salvation Army. I hope they get into as much trouble as possible, because when I was small child, every Monday, my gran used to look after me and she'd take me into the Salvation Army and she'd buy me an orange squash and a piece of cake. And the orange squash was always disgusting, the weakest orange squash you could have. It was some of the most miserable days out I've ever had. So I hope the Salvation Army goes completely down the toilet because they ruined my childhood.
You don't hear a lot of anti-Salvation Army rants, do you?
Might be failing to see the bigger picture there, Andrew. Yeah.
You do know that the Salvation Army is a charity, it's not a real army. You do know that, don't you? Although I reckon they could take on the French. I do think they could.
Because it's booming, isn't it, the recycling clothes business? Because we have all these cheap clothes shops and people buy clothes for cheap, throw them away. I'm as guilty of it as anyone. I'll be buying these cheap clothes from cheap shops. People say, oh, it's unethical, don't buy your clothes from those discount clothes shops. They've all been made by Indonesian orphans in sweatshop conditions. I couldn't care less. I remember when I was 11 years old, every Wednesday morning I was forced to get up at the crack of dawn, go to school, double chemistry in the morning, maths and geography before lunch. In the afternoon they forced me to play rugby for 2.5 hours, my head in a scrum, some dirty boy's arm up between my legs grabbing my bits and pieces, 15 fat grizzled oafs trying to sit on top of me, break my back. Compared to that, the way I see it, a little bit of shoe stitching seems positively enticing.
I threw out this long black dress that I've just got sick of, and then a day later, some bloke turned up at the door collecting for charity, bloody wearing it. Or it might have been the vicar. I don't know.
I do give a lot of clothes to charity shops. It's fantastic because they clean them and then I buy them back. It's it's way cheaper than Sketchley's. It really is. It's so fantastic. Anybody ever worked in a charity shop? I volunteered for a while in a charity shop. It was my job to take one piece out of every jigsaw. The Salvation Army has been accused of misleading donors after it was revealed that textile trader Nigel Hanger had made more than £5 million running their clothes recycling scheme. Nigel Hanger, 56, now lives in a £1 million country mansion, owns an Ascot-winning racehorse and wears a designer suit that smells very faintly of urine. 2 points to Andrew. Jeremy, whose invention isn't much to look at?
This is the invisibility cloak.
It is.
This is a bit weird. It's not really a cloak. It's not a cloak. It cloaks. It's a big crystal, and it refracts light, which is the thing that the process that they've been working on to try and make things invisible is to bend light around something else, so that what you see is behind the crystal thing. And they managed to do it with the paperclip. Only the crystal is clearly visible because it's huge. And in order to make a man disappear, they said, we've got a crystal big enough to do this. It's 7 metres by 2 metres. why not just have a pot plant? You know, stand behind. If you're if you've got to have something that big to stand behind, why not just stand behind something?
What I just didn't quite understand about the study, and Jeremy's explained it hugely well, is the paperclip's not invisible. They've just put something on top of it. Yeah. It's like me standing in front of y'all with a sheet over my head going, now you can't see me now, can you? You
know. Just because they said it could be used for cosmetics and it could hide, like, you know, like a mole on your face, and people would go, what's that crystal?
Seems like everybody's a scientist these days. This afternoon, I made a bacon sandwich disappear. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to make it reappear in an entirely different form. No one's calling me Professor, are they?
You want to take that sandwich back to the shop, I think. There's obviously something wrong with this. It didn't fit my body and it changed colour. If you want to make somebody invisible, all you have to do is take them off of mainstream television and give them a breakfast show on local radio.
I think the best method of invisibility is to wear a luminous bib and have a clipboard and walk up and down the high street saying to people, have you got a few minutes to talk? If that doesn't get you ignored, there was nothing.
Scientists from the University of Birmingham, Imperial College London and the Technical University of Denmark... Oh, yes. Thank you. We don't just pickle herring, you know. ..have managed to make a paperclip invisible using calcite crystals. The crystal guides rays of visible light around an object, much like a rock diverting water in a stream or Tony Blair facing questions in an inquiry. 2 points to Jeremy. At the end of round two, the scores are Susan and Joe have got 8 points, but Andrew and Jeremy remain in the lead with 9. Before we start round three, here is a TV listing from the FreeSat TV Guide.
Peter Pan, classic children's fairy tale starring Jason Isaacs. This programme contains scenes which viewers may find distressing, acts of violence and scenes of a sexual nature.
Thanks to John Smith for sending us that. Susan, which Englishman went up a hill but fell down a mountain?
I love any story that, to me, sounds like the start of an episode of Casualty. This is a guy, Adam Potter, I think his name was.
Yes.
Is that his name? Adam Potter. So he was climbing a hill in Scotland near Ben Nevis or something like that. And just as he said, this is why it's like Casualty, it's like the toaster above the bath. It's a bit icy. Do you think we should get the ice axe and the crampons out? And he fell down the mountain. He fell down something like 3 cliffs. And it's astonishing. He essentially bounced down the mountain, bounced, hit himself on a rock. He stood up, right? He'd lost his hat and gloves on the way down. He put on his spare hat and gloves and got out his map to check his bearings, right? And the rescue helicopter that flew past went, well, it's obviously not him, and flew past. My favourite part of the story was that he went to hospital in Glasgow and the doctor said he'd come out of it relatively unscathed, which just shows you they probably see you worse from a hen night on a Friday night.
They said it took 17 seconds, OK, for it to fall 1,000 feet. Do you not imagine it was a bit like a cartoon? The first 5 seconds, his feet were just paddling furiously in midair, thinking, what the hell is going on here?
They're a nuisance, these people. There's a film out about a bloke who falls down and hole, cuts his arm off because he gets his arm. Sorry to spoil the end. They don't tell anyone where they're going that weekend because there's nobody to tell. And they're a nuisance. And public money is spent rescuing them. I think the blokes in a helicopter said, you're right, son, right, well, you're on your own. Something like that. Or just, I mean, they've got helicopters with missiles on, haven't they? They've got Chinooks.
Climber Adam Potter tumbled 1,000 feet down the side of Sgwrconych Môr near Ben Nevis and survived with minor injuries. It's not known exactly what caused Mr. Potter to tumble off the side of Sgwrconych Môr, although one theory is he was distracted trying to read the name of the mountain on his map. Sgwrconych Môr is Gaelic and means slippery when wet. Points to Susan. Andrew, why do paramedics need extra support?
There's growing numbers of overweight people in this country, so they've had to adapt the ambulances with special new equipment, special new stretchers to accommodate the overweight people. I don't believe people are getting fatter generally. I'm shrinking. I've increasingly got a physical frame of a sick elderly lady. When I was a teenager, I used to force-feed myself junk food because I wanted to get fat. Because I was already ginger, I had glasses. I just felt like it might be fun to have the full package.
They're going to make it... Obviously, the ambulances are going to be bigger, so it'll be quite obvious, oh, look, there's a bigger patient that they're transporting, and I can just see them just to make it absolutely humiliating for the person involved, instead of having a siren, just having some form of tuba music as they're going past.
And they could rename them as well. They could call them jumbalances.
It can't be that hard to get them into the ambulance. Surely if you just had, like, a bun on a string...
That would work for me.
But is that not what, that's one of the things that I sometimes lie awake and worry about. And I do think if I keep going, you know, enjoying myself the way I am, I will have to be lifted out with like a crane. Ooh. And that worries me a little. It doesn't stop me eating, but it worries me.
Ambulances across the country are being fitted with wider stretchers and lifting gear to cope with increasingly obese patients. The renewed ambulances are equipped with extra-wide stretchers, additional cardiovascular equipment and a range of hot and cold sandwiches. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along, Ms. Kalman.
This is from the Gloucestershire Echo, and it's from Garfield Noakes, who sent it, and it's just the headline in itself is special. Girls' schools still offering something special. Head.
Yep. Ms. Brand.
Hello, this is from the Craven Herald, and it's about office staff are enjoying a baby boom. Seven members of staff from a Cross Hills care home have become pregnant after sitting on two chairs in the main office. We are trying to find out what the common factor was, but the most likely cause of the women getting pregnant is that they all sat in the same two chairs.
Mr. Well, Lawrence.
This has been sent in by David Taylor from Jersey. It's from the Catholic Teachers Gazette, and St John's Catholic Primary School are looking for a new head teacher who must be a practising Catholic. Anyone who's interested in the job has to contact the school bursar, Mrs. E. Pagan.
Mr. Hardy.
And this is from the St. Helen's Window Church magazine, sent in by Eleanor Dangerfield. A committed Christian, he has chosen to give up his successful and well-paid job here to return to his homeland in order to help the disabled in Sierra Leone through the establishment of the Dorothy Springer Trust, named in honour of his anonymous benefactor, Dorothy Springer.
Look at the final score. Andrew and Jeremy have got 12 points, but this week's winners are Susan and Joe with 14. Before we leave you, here is an item listed for sale in the Argos catalogue sent to us by Richard Sadler.
21-litre portable toilet. Sample toilet fluids included.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Susan Kalman, Joe Brand, Andrew Lawrence and Jeremy Hardy. In the chair was Sandy Topstick, and the news was read by me, Corrie Caulfield. The chair's script was written by Lucy Clark, Simon Littlefield and Roderick Crooks, with additional material by John Hunter and Carl Carter. The producer was Victoria Lloyd.